This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the publisher of Mac's List, an online community that connects talented professionals with meaningful work. I believe everyone can find a job they love. But to do that, you need to learn the skills to build a successful career. From professional networking to personal branding, you've got to get good at job hunting. This show helps you do that. Every week on Find Your Dream Job, I talk to a different career expert. We discuss the tools and tactics you need to find your dream job. Before we get started this week, I want to ask a favor. I want to give you, our listeners, the most valuable job search advice I can. To help do this, we're doing a short listener survey. We want to know what you like and don't like about the show. And we want to hear your ideas for career and job search topics you think we should cover in future episodes. And we also want to get to know you better. It's a quick poll with just a handful of questions, and I'd be grateful if you'd fill it out. You'll be eligible to win a $50 Amazon gift card, too. So go to maxlist.org/findyourdreamjobsurvey and let us hear from you by November 20th, 2018. Now, let's get back to the show. Our guest this week is Maren Roberts-Huntley. She's an expert in helping people get the careers they want. Maren teaches the skills and tools you need to successfully land your dream job. Maren says you've got to nail your first impression when job hunting. Like it or not, employers make judgments based on how you look, talk, and behave. In our conversation this week, Maren says you should start by paying attention to how others see you online. She has great advice about how to handle getting tagged in photos while job searching, and she reveals the one place online that headhunters and hiring managers always visit when checking out candidates. Maren and I also talk in the interview about how to impress employers in person. We discuss how to enter a room when meeting a hiring manager, and she offers terrific tips about body language, clothing, and grooming. Want to learn more? Listen in now at the Max List Studio as I interview Maren Roberts-Huntley about how to nail your first impression in a job search. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Maren Roberts-Huntley. Maren Roberts-Huntley started Made to Hire to help people reach career goals faster. With 17 years of business experience and 10 years of career coaching, Maren knows how to help you land your dream job. Companies and young professionals call her their secret weapon. She joins us today in person in the Max List Studio in Portland, Oregon. Maren, thanks for coming downtown.
Hi, Mac. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So we're talking about a topic that matters a lot in job hunting, but also for people in their careers, which is making a really good first impression. Why is it important to do this, Maren?
Absolutely. Well, if we're talking about interviews, for example, we know that the decision for who's going to be hired is more often than not made in those first few minutes during the interview. So if you think about it, when you walk into the room and you introduce yourself to the person interviewing you, they're already getting an impression of who you are, how you come across, and likely what's going to happen in the interview. So first impressions are incredibly important as they make a statement for not only who you are, but who you're perceived to be.
Can you recover from a bad first impression, Maren?
I think you can, but it's difficult because someone is always going to have that image in their mind of perhaps a mistake that you made or not making eye contact or having a bad handshake. So I tend to try to encourage people to really think through the things that make a great first impression and try to do those out of the gates rather than trying to have to recover and kind of dig yourself out of a little bit of a hole.
Well, let's talk about the ways people can make first impressions. And I know from reading your articles that you're a big believer in paying attention to our presence online. Tell us more about those virtual first impressions.
You know, it's really interesting, Mac. If you think about how things have changed in the past 10 or 15 years, 15 years ago, most first impressions were made in person. But if you look at the past decade or so, more often than not, someone is going to get an impression of you by doing a Google search or by looking at your LinkedIn profile. So they are going to actually not only make a judgment about you, but probably also make a decision about whether or not they want to learn more about you, whether or not they want to interview you, for example. So how you come across online is incredibly important.
So how can people make a good first impression virtually? What are some basic tips that you share with the people you work with?
That's a great question. So I think about virtual first impressions in three categories. So I think about how you come across in a Google search, number one. Number two, what your LinkedIn profile looks like. And number three, what I call casual social media looks like. And we can click deeper into any of those that interest you or that you think your listeners might be interested in.
Well, here's one question that comes to mind. How far down do recruiters go when they Google you? Are they actually going to the 5th, the 6th, the 10th page?
I think anything that's on that first page is absolutely fair game, and you want that to be as favorable as possible. People won't necessarily go past the first page, but certainly what's on that first page, expect that someone's going to click on everything on that page if they're really trying to dig into considering you for a job, for example.
Okay, and people don't have to be search engine optimization SEO experts to get good at this, do they?
No, they don't. So a couple things to think about. So first off, do the exercise yourself, right? So Google yourself and see what comes up. Hopefully, there's some positive content out there. For example, your LinkedIn profile should rank pretty highly in a Google search. Your Facebook profile, for example, any social media profiles that you have should rank pretty highly in a Google search. So that's a win because the good news is you manage that content. So that's one thing to think about. The other thing to think about when you Google yourself is if there is any negative content that comes up, you actually do have some control over changing that. So people often will get nervous if they Google themselves and they see something that might not be so favorable. You can contact whomever has posted that information about you, ask them to remove it. They may be agreeable or amenable to removing it. If they're not, what should you do? I've been asked this question a number of times, and my best advice is to try to push that content lower down in the search results by actually being the author of more positive content about yourself. So that can happen, again, through social media accounts like LinkedIn or Facebook. That can happen through commenting on different news articles, for example, or commenting on other people's social media posts. Those are some ways that you can push that unfavorable content lower down in the search results.
And how often, Maren, do you recommend that people check their virtual, their digital footprint?
Yeah.
Is that something you do once a year, only when you're job hunting?
It's a great question, Mac, and I think it depends where you're at in your career. If you're job hunting, I would do a Google search once a month to see what's coming up against your name. And don't just look at the content pages, look at the images, look at the videos, right? So really do a comprehensive check once a month if you're job hunting. If you're not job hunting, I still think it's a good thing to do every 6 months just to be aware of how you're managing your brand.
And how much time should this take?
Just a couple minutes.
Okay.
Right? If there's nothing negative there, it's just a quick exercise. Hey, what's out there about me? If there is something negative, well, then you know what? I'm glad you found it, because hopefully you found it before a recruiter or a hiring manager finds it, and you can actually try to do something about it.
So there's one question I got to ask you, because you touch on this in one of your blog posts. What is the one place that recruiters and hiring managers always check?
LinkedIn. Absolutely. LinkedIn is your virtual resume. It is your chance to show your professional self to every recruiter, to every hiring manager. It is your place to shine, and you own that page, so you can make it what you want it to be.
And I want to move on to impressions in person, but often people, what does a bad LinkedIn page look like? How can you make a bad impression? Because you're in charge.
Right. And yes, and I do a lot of work in the LinkedIn space, and it really surprises me how many people are not taking charge of that space. So a bad LinkedIn profile, for example, has a poor profile picture. So it has the person doing something unprofessional, for example, like running around, like sitting and laughing in an unprofessional environment, right? Versus a professional headshot. And I don't mean professional as in taken by a photographer, but sure. I mean a nice headshot in which you're dressed professionally. So having a poor profile picture is one miss. Another okay. miss that I see, honestly, probably 50% of the time, Mac, is someone not having a background picture behind their profile picture. A lot of people don't realize that that's real estate that they can own. And I'd say probably 50% of the LinkedIn profiles that I look at have that blue LinkedIn background on it. People can change that. So for me, that just shows a lack of attention to detail and a lack of a desire to tell your story, right? And a couple other things, if I may.
Please.
Another important one is that real estate that you own right under your picture where you can write your description. Let's say, for example, 5 years of experience managing projects for startups, let's say. People often have something super short there. They don't have something engaging. They don't have something that's going to make a recruiter or a hiring manager say, oh, wow, that's the sort of experience that I'm looking for. So I encourage people to really think through that description. Think about it in terms of years of experience, in terms of functional skills, and in terms of what you're looking for. And then certainly below that is where you can tell the story about your work experience. And often people don't have their current job on there. Until they start looking for a job, they forget that they actually are doing a role right now that should be marketed as part of building their career and as part of their online presence. So making sure that you round out all the opportunities on that profile from work experience to education to volunteer work to languages. Another big miss that I often see is people not having endorsements. If you're job hunting and you don't have any former coworkers or managers saying something positive about you on LinkedIn, I really think you're leaving something on the table.
I agree with all the points you're making because I think often either because people don't know how to do it or they think it's going to take a lot of time, they build an incomplete LinkedIn page, or even worse, they have none at all.
That's a great point, Mac. Yeah. I actually was searching a group of people recently, and there were 50 people in the group that I was searching, and 10 of them did not have a LinkedIn page, and I was really surprised.
Yeah.
So totally
yeah.
agree.
Yeah, but if you do have an incomplete page, know this, that with I'd love to hear your perspective on this too, Maren. I think with a little bit of work, you can fill out that profile, and it's not something that's going to take you hours and hours to do.
I absolutely agree with you, Mac. Just putting in the time to make sure that you've got a great overview statement, two great pictures, professional pictures up there, have your work experience relevant. Another thing that you can do that's kind of neat and really simple and many people don't know is you can customize your LinkedIn URL. LinkedIn gives you a generic URL that is, I shouldn't say generic, but it's auto-generated with different numbers and letters, and it's extremely long. And you can change that if you go into your contact info in LinkedIn. You can change that to actually be your name. So if that's something that you want to put on your resume, for example, it'll actually make sense to people how to find you.
Well, let's talk about a very tactical question that comes up often on Thursdays because, as you know, there's something called Throwback Thursday.
Yes.
And we've all got those college chums or old high school friends who post those photos, and sometimes they're not so flattering from perhaps a spring break trip or that long weekend in Mexico. If you're tagged in a photo like that, Maren, what can you do?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mac, and that does happen to people often. So the good news is you know that person. You manage your own brand. Ask that person, if it's an unfavorable picture, ask that person, ideally, to remove the picture. That would be the first ask. The second ask, if they say no for whatever reason, mm-hmm. ask them politely if they can at least untag you. And tell them why. Tell them that you're working towards an interview or towards the next job that you're trying to get. So you're really trying to be careful with the sort of images and content that is out there about yourself.
Yeah. Terrific. Well, where can I pause now for a moment, and when we come back, I want to talk more about first impressions, but especially how we do this in person, mm-hmm. because we've covered a lot of good ground here about the online world. But I know there are other events, you know, whether it's a job interview or going to a networking event, where, again, as you said at the beginning, people make conclusions quickly, and we've got to be prepared for that. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment with Marin Roberts Huntley. Have you Googled yourself recently? If not, do it now. Seriously, pick up your phone, hit the Google app, and type in your name. I'll wait. Okay, are you back? What pops up? And what will a hiring manager say after looking at the page? As Marin tells us today, first impressions matter a lot. So what kind of impression do you make online? We've got a free 3-part video course at MaxList that can help you put your best foot forward. It's called How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. And you can get it today at maxlist.org/wow. We show you what to do about those spring break photos from Mexico, how you can use LinkedIn to get recognized as an expert in your industry, and what recruiters look for when they check you out online. See for yourself. Go to maxlist.org/wow. Don't let that faded Polaroid from that long ago night in Acapulco get between you and your next job offer. Get How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. Go to maxlist.org/wow. Again, that's maxlist.org/wow. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back at the MaxList studio here in Portland, Oregon, with Marin Roberts Huntley, who's the founder and president of Made to Hire. And we're talking about how to nail first impressions. And in the first half of our interview, Marin, we had a great conversation about virtual first impressions and the importance of paying attention to what recruiters and hiring managers are going to find when they Google us and look elsewhere online. Now let's talk about what happens when we see people in person, especially for job interviews. And I know, again, from reading your blog posts that you're a big believer in paying attention to that first impression when we enter a room. Tell our listeners more about that, what that is and why it matters.
Yeah, you know, Mac, I love this question because there are so many things that you can own and change yourself. And so actually, what I did for your listeners is I made a top 10 list, the 10 things that I think they should think about in making a first impression in a job setting.
All right.
So we can cover as many of them as
you are we going to go through them quickly?
As you like. Well, I could tell you the 10, and then you can ask me about whichever ones interest you.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, let's go through the list.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and we'll visit the ones that you think we can probably dig into a couple.
That sounds good.
I'm really excited about this.
Okay.
Rattle off the list.
Okay, so number one, clothing and accessories, right? That's a no-brainer. Number two, grooming and makeup. Number three, posture. Number four, energy. Number five, eye contact.
Okay.
Yeah. Number six, handshake. Number seven, questions.
Uh-huh.
Number eight, manners. Number nine, being present.
Okay.
And number 10, being on time. They're probably not in any particular order because they're all so important.
Yeah.
But those 10 things, if you actually can really think through them, make a huge difference in the sort of first impression that you make.
Okay. And I certainly have some favorites as you rattled off the list. I mean, being present, I think, was number 9. To me, that just drives me crazy when people take out their phones or a book or...
Yeah, you know, I think often about the role that electronics play in first impressions. So think about it. When we met today, I could have walked in here with my face buried in a phone, right? And with my head down... Or I could have walked in here ready to engage with you. My phone was out of the equation. I actually think that says a lot about how present someone is going to be in the meeting, in the interview, whatever it is. Their phone should not be part of it.
So I think most listeners would say, well, duh, I'm not going to take my phone out during the job interview. But I think, are you talking about walking into the lobby and there's the applicant and they're buried in their iPhone?
Absolutely. Honestly, Mac, I'm talking about any situation in which you enter a room. Think about it. When someone enters a room, if they're holding their phone with their head down looking in their phone, Are they ready to engage with people? Do they want to actively be part of what's happening in the room? No. They're hiding. They're actually telling everyone there, I don't want to talk to you. Leave me alone. Not a good first impression to make.
Okay. Well, that's one that jumps out at me. What about you, Maren? I know you probably are not supposed to have any favorites, but what are some of the top things on that list?
Eye contact for me is a really big one. Eye contact indicates a level of confidence and just belief in yourself about what you have to offer. And so if you can meet somebody or walk into a room and actively make eye contact with the people in the room, it shows a level of confidence in yourself and it shows an interest in actually engaging with people versus essentially avoiding them.
What are your best tips about if you're perhaps a little shy or maybe uncomfortable looking at people directly in the eye? How can people get good at that?
Yeah, it's something that definitely takes time to work on. And for me, the root of eye contact is confidence. And so it's not something you're going to be able to change in a day, but it's something that you're going to need to work on over time. So putting yourself in situations that are a little bit uncomfortable. And when you have a win, for example, if you're at a networking event and you go up to somebody and you introduce yourself, have a goal of having a short conversation with them where you actually truly look at them in the eyes, and then consider that a win, right? So it doesn't have to be a 1 hour long intense conversation with someone in order for you to really be making progress with eye contact. But again, I go back to the topic of confidence and challenging yourself, whether it's in networking situations, just in everyday work situations, to push yourself a little bit outside your comfort zone so that you get a little bit more comfortable with yourself, a little bit more confident with what you have to offer. Eye contact then is going to come more naturally.
Let's talk about clothing because we live in a business casual world, and especially here on the West Coast. But when you go to bigger cities, there is a formality in dress that you don't find in places in Portland. But there are differences that job seekers need to pay attention to, even in business casual meccas like Portland, Oregon, aren't there?
I always suggest to people err on the side of being a little dressier than you think. And you can certainly ask for feedback if you're going into an interview. You can certainly ask whoever has scheduled the interview on what the attire is at the company, but you need to step it up from what the normal attire is there. So if the person scheduling the interview says, oh, we're very casual here, we wear jeans and sneakers, that does not mean you wear jeans and sneakers to that interview. But what that does mean is you don't wear a suit and tie. To me, that says business casual. So if you're a man, you'd be wearing nice slacks and a dress shirt with a nice belt and shoes. If you're a woman, you'd be wearing a dress shirt or a nice sweater with a skirt of appropriate length or dress pants.
Do you see any differences by age group? And when you think about those suggestions, are older people expected to be more formal, or should they avoid doing that because it might reflect that candidly, they're older?
I don't think so, Mac. I think, you know, if you follow the philosophy of dress slightly better than the norm in any situation, you're always going to look good.
Okay. Well, let's talk about grooming, hair, and makeup.
Important topics.
Well, they are, aren't they?
Yes. So I'd love to give your listeners some advice on grooming and hair and makeup. Do you want to start with men or women?
let's start with women.
With women. Okay. So women in professional situations, I feel strongly that women should have their hair down and it should be done. By done, I mean it should look like they washed and dried their hair. I've been in many professional situations where women have their hair up in a ponytail as if they've just gone for a run, or they come into a meeting with their hair wet. That's just not making the right first impression, right? So you actually want it to look like you really care about how you present yourself and you took some time to get ready. So that's hair on the women's side. Hair on the men's side, I feel the same way that men should have tidy, well-groomed hair. Facial hair is another interesting topic for men, right? Some men feel strongly about wanting to have facial hair. That's great. I don't have any problems with that, but I do think men with facial hair need to be careful that it's well-groomed and that if they have a beard, let's say, it's not taking over their face. I've had to have some interesting conversations with people who I've been coaching around you really need to trim your beard. You really need to scale it back because it is overbearing. It is taking over our exchange. All I can look at is your beard, for example. So that's grooming. I would say makeup is another interesting topic for women to think about. So I've never been a huge makeup wearer myself, but I do think that at least light makeup is appropriate for professional situations. So what do I mean by light makeup? I mean at least lip gloss and mascara. I also think if you're 35 or over, under eye concealer is one of the best things ever invented, and I can say that from experience. Mm-hmm. It just really evens out what most of us have, which is some dark circles under our eyes, because you're tired, life is busy. So I think light makeup should be, for most women, a baseline for a professional situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good. And again, the goal here is not to let impressions get in the way of what you have to offer. It's mm-hmm. Right. So you can focus on what you have to offer, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, some things can really be distracting from showing what you have to offer. You know, like you mentioned, Mac, if somebody's a little bit more shy and has a hard time with eye contact, someone actually could take that the wrong way.
Sure.
And so how does that shy person enter the room but still have a smile on their face, mm-hmm. right? Still have a warm energy about them that makes people feel like they're open to a conversation, like they want to meet them. You don't have to be the center of attention and you don't have to go up and introduce yourself to everyone, but can you have a warm energy about you that draws people in as a reserved person? Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I think we might have covered 6 out of the 10. What's left on your list, Maren?
Posture is another important one.
Yeah.
I mean, we touched on this a little bit when we talked about how you enter a room, but you know, think about if you're in a professional situation and you're slouched over, right? Versus if you've got your head held high, your shoulders back, that shows a level of confidence and what seems to be a can-do attitude, right? You seem like somebody who actively wants to be there and is going to get things done. So I actually think having an upright, confident posture is really important with first impressions. And then handshakes,
yes.
Mac. We should talk about that for a minute.
And I recently met with someone, a lady who grew up in the South, and she was talking about, she asked me about handshakes.
Mm-hmm.
And she said in the Pacific Northwest, it didn't seem as common to her that people would shake hands here as they do in the American South.
I agree with you.
Yeah, there are some regional differences there, aren't there?
I just think we're more casual here in Portland
yeah.
than perhaps in larger cities. But I feel the same way, whether you're in New York or LA or Portland or Chicago or a small town. I still think that when you meet someone, you should shake their hand, introduce yourself, find out what their name is, and your handshake should be firm and confident, not gripping and hard, but also not loose and floppy, right? Because it is a statement of how you carry yourself, how you see yourself, how actively you want to engage with that person.
Yeah, the person I'm thinking of, she worried that her handshake was too strong, And so it is something we need to pay attention to, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's an interesting one, too, because I actually think it's something good to get feedback on. So for that woman, for example, if she was worried that it was too strong, I would ask. I would ask people for feedback, right?
Yeah.
And take that feedback and soften a little bit, because you certainly don't want to hurt someone's hand right when you're trying to get to know them.
Okay. So you're walking into the room, you're shaking hands, you're making good eye contact, and you're paying attention to the pressure that you're exerting when you make that handshake.
Exactly.
Great.
Exactly. And then a couple other ones, I guess, that we didn't cover yet. One is being on time. Right?
This drives me crazy.
Talk about making a bad first impression if you're late. It's, for me, if someone's late, it's over. There's actually really no recovering from being late because that shows a disrespect for the other person's time. So,
do you give, what about traffic jams, congestion, bridges open?
You should know it before that person gets there that they're going to be late. Just showing up late for me is a deal breaker. So if you're running late and there's something like traffic, call.
Okay.
Call and say, really apologize, running late. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Okay.
That's Okay, that's not ideal. But it's acceptable versus just showing up late. Oh, that's especially if it's an interview.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's hard to recover from.
Really, really bad. Yeah. So that's a good one to mention. And then two others I don't think we've touched on yet are manners and asking questions. So with manners, simple things like please and thank you when you meet someone, right, in that first exchange with them. If someone gives you a compliment, say thank you.
Right.
Or if you're asking for something from someone, say please, right? Just those subtle things actually make a difference in the impression that you make. And then that other point that I made was around questions, right?
Right, curiosity.
So be curious. Actually treat the person as if you really want to learn about them and ask them more than their name. Ask them how their day's going. Ask them what they do for work, right? Just simple questions that show that you want to engage with them makes a really good impression about who you are.
Yeah, agreed. And not only in job interviews, you should always walk into the room with a list of questions about the position, but at networking events, I think questions help because they allow you to learn, but they also put everybody at ease because often people don't know what to say, do they? And when you ask them basic questions about themselves, I think people are flattered by that interest, but it also kickstarts the conversation and I think engages everyone.
Absolutely. Yes, that's a great point.
Great. Well, these are that was a terrific top 10 list. We'll need to include that in the show notes,
Maren. That sounds good.
Good. And we are coming up to the end of our conversation. Now, tell me, what's next for you?
You know, I'm excited that I am working on my first book called Made to Hire, Market Yourself for the Career You Want. And that's actually coming out later this year. And it's full of some of the things that we talked about first impressions and really creating and managing your own brand, but it's also full of tips around networking, how to actually get the interview, how to succeed in the interview, how to negotiate an offer. And then I also talk in the book about what to do after you're hired and how to get rated as a high potential employee, how to work on different skills. So I'm just really excited to actually be able to share this information with a larger audience.
Well, congratulations. I know people can sign up to get an email from you when the book is published later this year. And they can do that by visiting your website, madetohire.com. We'll be sure to include the URL in the show notes. And in addition to information about your book, you've got a terrific blog and other valuable resources for job seekers. So we encourage people to visit the site. Well, Maren, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Mac.
It's been a pleasure. Take care. That was a great conversation with Maren Roberts Huntley. I especially liked her top 10 list, and she didn't tell me she was going to do that. And I thought for a moment, oh, will we be able to get through all this? But we did, and there were so many valuable nuggets in there. My favorite, of course, was the one about being present, but I also identify strongly with her tips about eye contact. And I think her main point that I took away from this conversation is for not only do first impressions matter, but there's so much we can do to manage them. And you want to do it so that you don't take yourself out of the running if you're an applicant for a job or if you want to build a relationship with someone in your industry. And again, it's something that you can do. And another thing you can do is pay attention to how you present yourself online. And again, Maren had terrific tips there, but if you're looking for more advice, and you'll find a lot of good suggestions in our new course, which is called How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. It's free, and it's 3 videos. They're short, but like today's conversation, they're full of practical, actionable ideas that you can use to put your best foot forward online. So don't wait. Go to maxlist.org/wow. That's maxlist.org/wow. And download your free copy of How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. You can do it today. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Find Your Dream Job. And join us next Wednesday. Our special guest will be Louise Kersmark. And she'll explain how to customize your resume for every application without making yourself crazy. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.